Okay. Obi, you gotta understand, man. He's a wise guy. So don't believe anything that comes out of his mouth.
I bring my own.
Stop. GloucesterCast 332. Probably to. Well, we had Julia. We had a couple famous. We had what's the girl from Seinfeld? Julia Louis-Dreyfus's husband, who was the big producer.
You blew that, Joe.
I blew it.
It was a hot open.
Remember that guy?
Whatever.
You want to stop that, Obi, Joe?
If I wasn't so hungover.
Back to the top.
I'm sorry for being such a failure. This is GloucesterCast 332. We do have a very famous. This is our first professional athlete, Obi Mela Fonwu.
And I got it right.
You got it right. Yo.
Money. Well done.
If you see it spelled out, you would know that that's a victory.
Yeah. All right, you can go home now, Joe.
Super Bowl champion, Obi Mela Fonwu. And
now he's showing off.
Yeah. You got it down pat, man.
Very interesting story. He was born in the United Kingdom.
Yep. London.
Yeah. Came over here young. And how did you become the special, the beast that you are? did you grow up playing football? What years did you start playing football?
I wanted to start playing when I was 8 years old. My mom, she was completely against it. It's too dangerous. I don't want my baby getting hurt. So she actually threw away the sheet, like the sign-up sheet. She threw it away.
Good for her.
I was crushed, dude. I was crushed. I don't know. I just have always had a passion. I've always had a competitive spirit. I've always, been the one to run around, play tag, always be outside. I was never inside. Played video games, but I'd rather be outside. That whole year, man, I was plying. That whole year, plying how to make sure I could play the next year. The next year, I ended up getting two sign-up sheets. She did the same thing. She threw away the first one. I pulled out the second one, and from there, she knew I was serious about it. She signed me up, and she's been supporting me ever since.
Who was your favorite team or player, or both?
My favorite team was the Patriots growing up. I watched. My first jersey I ever had, my first number was 32 for Antoine Smith. He was a running back at the time, and I played running back, Pop Warner. But my favorite football player of all time is Barry Sanders.
Yes. Oh my goodness!
That's why I wore 20 in college, yes. And when I played for the Raiders. But I grew up a Patriots fan, Super Bowl winning team, yes, Teddy Bruschi, Ty Law, Asante Samuel, they had all those guys.
Yeah.
I grew up a Patriots fan, and Barry Sanders is my favorite football player.
So even though you were born in London, your formative years you were in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And to be able to come back after getting signed by the Raiders and then coming and then getting released and picked up by the Patriots, what kind of a elation and joy was that for you to be able to come back home? And play for, and then go from an organization, no disrespect, like the Raiders, and to get signed by the Patriots. What was going through your head?
First off, it's always been my dream to play in the NFL. So for the Raiders to give me the opportunity, for them to draft me and have belief in me, I owe them, honestly, everything, because I don't know. When I would have got drafted, I don't know if I would have got drafted, nobody knows. So for them to give me the opportunity that they did, I'm incredibly grateful for that. They don't work out how you want them to all the time, but I do have a big faith in Christ, and I do feel like everything works out when it's supposed to, and God has a plan for everybody. So to be where I was and to have the things that happened to me, and then to be where I am now, I just see it as a blessing. And I also thank, Bill Belichick and the Patriots organization for giving me the opportunity to be a part of this team and to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. And that's the ultimate goal, right? Win a Super Bowl, family, football, and faith, right?
Right, yeah.
But so sometimes sports media people try to downplay the importance of a loose locker room, and like, you know how the Steelers players, Antonio Brown, like tweeting out in the locker room, and you never see anything like that in the Patriots organization. Is this something that's told to you? Like, listen, right off the bat, don't even try, or do you just know going in, we're not going to be acting like fools, and we're not going to poke the bear, we're not going to antagonize the other team. Is this something that is, is there a conversation when you come to the Patriots that's different than the conversation when you start with the Raiders?
No, I don't think it's necessarily a conversation. I think, you know, the Patriots have been dominant for so long, and they've done well for so long that when you enter the building, it's almost just like, you know, you want to be a part of whatever's going on, and you just follow the leaders in that locker room, like Tom Brady, Julian Edelman, Gronkowski, the leaders in that locker room, you kind of follow them and you kind of follow what they're doing. And, you know, they're guys that are respectful. They do all the right things. They show up on time. They take extra notes. They leave late. So when you see all those things and you don't see them doing all this other stuff, it's almost like, wow, like this is, you know, this is what it takes to get to where we need to get to. So you want to be a part of that. Devin McCourty, Patrick Chung, all those guys, you want to be a part of that. And I got the opportunity to, you know, for my first year, be in that room of Devin McCourty, Patrick Chung, Daron Harmon, Nate Ebner, and watching them, you know, perform how they perform and do the things that they do. I mean, it's not necessarily a choice, but you want to be great as well. So you're going to follow what great people and great, you know, leaders are doing. So I think that's what it really comes down to.
It's interesting to me that, like, I would have thought that, like, you're handed, like, yeah, listen, like, at this, you know, line items,
sheet, right?
Line, yeah, items of no,
do's,
no,
and
no,
don'ts,
no.
Right?
Well, that was, you know, the last year, the narrative from the horrible, like, I can't stand the Boston sports media, the narrative was that the players hated Bill Belichick, and there's complete disarray in the locker room, and when Garoppolo was traded, you know, it was all this stuff that was being said, but then it seems like that is not the case at all, and I just don't know how they can make these rumors up, you know, and just keep on. But this year it seems like that. So you win, they win a Super Bowl, and now the narrative is completely different, and they just change on a dime of the sports media, of what they, how they like to portray the relationship between the, you know, is it fun for you? I mean, is it purely work and a grind, or are you having fun?
Nah, I mean, in anything you do, right? If you love doing what you're doing, you're not going to see it as work in a way. So for me, like, I love going into the, well, I got there late. So I love going into the building. I love, you know, practice. I love, you know, having to sit in meetings, taking notes. Like, even though, like, you know how it is. Like, you're tired, but at the same time, you're like, dang, like, there's no other thing I'd rather be doing than this.
Right.
So yeah, it's just like, It's work, but at the same time, like, it's like fun. Like, you wouldn't be right. You wouldn't want to do anything else. And then, you know, obviously I joined late. So just to talk about, you know, all this other stuff, I feel like, you know, everybody's always going to have something to say. Everybody's always going to have, you know, want to be the biggest critic or whatever. But when you have a group of guys that trust each other and know and have one goal, I feel like, and it's that strong, and the commitment to what we're doing is that strong, then all the other outside stuff really doesn't matter. All that matters is the people in the locker room and the people that are fighting for one another, because those are the only people that are going to be on the field, right? The people that are grinding together. So I think it's when you have a team with that much camaraderie, then it's hard to shake. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, but you said that you came in late.
Yeah.
How difficult was it to pick up and learn the Pats defense plan?
It really wasn't, like I said, because I feel like I came into a great situation. Like, that's why I feel like it's a blessing, because there's not, you don't come from where I was to, like, to where I am now. It doesn't get any better than that. I get to go into a room with Devin McCourty, like I said, Patrick Chung, Daron Harmon, Nate Ebner. These guys have been doing it for a long time, and, like, you would, like, the way they brought me in and the way they helped me and tried to help me develop, it doesn't get any better than that. So honestly, it wasn't a struggle for me because of everybody in the locker room and how, you know, how great of teammates I have. So it wasn't a difficult transition because of everybody in that locker room. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Week to week, the Patriots seem to morph. I mean, maybe because I'm looking at it from, you know, Patriot fan perspective, but week to week, the Patriots seem to morph what they do on the field and game plans far more than any other, NFL football team. Like, to learn the playbook and the X's and O's, it's not that complicated? Do you think that the Patriots, a big part of who gets picked up to be a part of this team, there's not just being a physical part of it, but a mental part of it. Like, a big part of their scouting process is understanding that the person that they are bringing in, say you, they know that you have the mental capacity to pick up the playbook.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to be, you know, have physical traits, but I also feel like all the great football players also have a high football IQ, and that's something that, you know, that I feel like I have, and I could obviously learn more, and I feel like that's something that a lot of guys have on the team,
and that's something that they recognize because when he got released by the Raiders, I mean, we had 20 teams we could have went to, so we cut it down to 4 teams, and that was one of the things that Coach Belichick and I discussed, was his football IQ and his ability to be able to come in and comprehend a playbook and bring instant value. So that does play, and even in the scouting, when I'm going through the draft process, that's always a box that needs to be checked. Because a lot of guys, not only character, the lack of tolerance today, if guys are going to make mistakes, but how quickly they can comprehend a playbook, and that's really important. That puts a premium on you as a player.
I would think so. So winning a Super Bowl, and we talked about this earlier, there's not a lot of time from in between seasons. So how much time is it after the Super Bowl? How much time do you have to kind of like rest, recover, mentally chill out before the next season ramps up?
Like two months.
Yeah, I would say 2 months, but you figure in terms of getting recovering, but they got to start back up April 15th. Super Bowl, yeah, on the 3rd of February. So it's not really a lot of time. And then, you know, they say, you know, they're not mandatory, but
good luck if you don't show up, right?
Yeah. All right, but for me, whether it's mandatory or not, I love playing the game, so I love my teammates, so I'm going to be there, like, regardless. That's how I feel.
What are some of the things you do, like, right after the, what did you do right after the Super Bowl?
Went to the parade, which is ridiculous. I mean, I've lived in Massachusetts my whole life and never been to a parade.
Oh, no.
So to have that on my first one, I mean, the day was phenomenal. The weather was nice.
It was warm. We were there.
Weather was incredible. And then the amount of people that showed up, I heard it was the most people that showed up. And then I went to my first Bruins game. I think that day.
Oh, when they brought you on the ice, right?
That was pretty awesome.
That was incredible for that to be my first.
I was there for that.
My first game. And then it took, you know, a couple weeks off. Yeah, New York City. We went there for a couple of days, and I took a couple of weeks off. And then my mind was just like, you know, I was fun and stuff, but
get back to work.
Yeah, let's get another one.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have a question. So what would you say to a friend? Let's just say he might be in this room today.
Here we go.
He's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan
that may or may not be holding a camera right now,
is continuously wearing Staler's hats, shirts, fan gear.
Yeah.
What would you say to that individual?
Honestly, I mean, you support whatever team you're on. You support
you
that
go.
Team to the die. No bandwagon, man. You gotta ride it down.
You're much nicer. You're much nicer.
You gotta ride it down.
We mercilessly tease him.
Oh, Joe, don't point out the
cameraman.
Referencing.
Yeah. Hey, I always tell him, don't hate the champion. Okay? And I used to be able to go, count them. And now it's like, welcome to the club. Oh, it took you a while to get here. Welcome to the sixth club.
Right, so a friend I'm referencing.
I mean, obviously, you could tell that I'm a lifelong athlete as well. So, you know, usually we make, you know when the guy in the room is
have
like.
Have you ever heard of the Nathan's hot dog eating contest? He won it 3 times.
Now. How many?
Just joking. We tell a lot of jokes around here. No, so a question everybody wants to know. How many times have you picked off Brady in practice?
Zero. That dude. Man, he's when you talk about, like, you know, you prepare like you're gonna play in a game. I mean, from top to bottom, that's just how we prepare. That's just how we go into it. So, I mean, he's incredible.
He's okay.
He's unbelievable, man. You can't say enough about the guy. Like, he's a leader. He's friendly. He's just down to earth. Like, he's a great teammate.
It's almost unbelievable. It's almost unbelievable, like, how he could be so perfect.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Well, that's what, you know, like,
here we go gushing.
No. Listen, I'm the first one to say, and you know this, that I get irritated when they say, on like sportscasters say, I'm a very critical of sportscasters, yeah. But I can't stand when they say it's Tom Brady versus the Philadelphia Eagles.
I know.
It drives me crazy. I cringe because it used to be the same way with Peyton Manning.
Yep.
And I'd just be like, Peyton Manning does not win a game by himself. There's a team.
Nobody wins a game. We saw it against the Rams in 2001 when they ran out as a team. And they beat the Rams as a team.
Now everyone
well, before
that.
Tom was really Tom.
Right.
So, I agree. Point. But as you said, the critics, they need something to write. They need to stir. And the haters are going to be like that.
Tennis and golf.
Yeah. Obi also got shot for 2 front cover magazines in New York City, which was cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that's what you were doing all
that. Yeah. Nice. And he collaborated with 50 Cent, which was good. We did
50 Cent. Yeah.
Why do you do a little husband?
I'm more of a podcast type of just for his magazine.
Cool.
Which was, yeah.
Was it a Sports Illustrated, the naked one? Edelman did, no?
Yeah, that's a year four. So, Obi, obviously you worked extremely hard to get to where you were, to get drafted by the Raiders. But once you got to New England, did you, even though there wasn't a book, like Joey was saying, like they don't hand you the Belichick Bible, but did it happen? Was it day one? And did you notice something in your drive, in your dedication, in your working? Like, did you realize now you're almost in a different league now that you're on the Patriots? Did something happen? Did you physically and mentally something change when you realized you're on the Pats?
I wouldn't say that. I've always come into the same mindset with every team I've been on since college. You know, like I said, try to do the right thing. Try to get to the building early. Try to take notes. Try to ask questions. That's something I really like doing, asking questions. So there really wasn't a big difference. I think for me, you know, being released and then being brought onto the team, I guess there was a sense of like, you know, you guys had faith in me, you guys believed in me, so I'm gonna, you know,
prove
make,
it.
You know, yeah, what I, like prove, not necessarily prove, but you know, like you guys didn't make a mistake in this. But I mean, that's really the mindset I went into it of, and just, you know, not taking anything for granted, because like in this business, I mean, like you could be picked up and gone tomorrow. And I lived it. I went through it. And that was like adversity that I had to face probably for the, you know, there's not a lot of times in my life that I've had to face adversity, but that was one of the big ones. And I've learned a lot from that. And one of the things I learned is don't take it for granted. Because it could be
gone tomorrow. Right.
Exactly, but I think at an early age for him, it's a blessing to be able to go and get a dose of that to see, hey, this is the land of strictly business. So it's to get that early in your career, it kind of gives you another layer of skin that you can adapt in adverse situations, and that's what he did. And now he's a world champion with a big-time chip on his shoulder to get out there and build off of what he did last year. Yeah.
Was there a different level of expectations at the New England versus the Oakland?
I really don't know. Like I said, it's not necessarily expectations from it's just you just know going into it what like all the players around you. So it's almost like you want to match the players around you. So
you're playing up to
So I mean, when you get in there, you want to just do all the right things. You see people doing certain stuff, and you're just like, wow, this was what it takes to be a champion. Mm-hmm. So you want to emulate and do the same things.
What kind of adjustment be from college to the professional? Oh. Is it you know, how do the college coaches, you know, set you up for a game compared to, you know, like a Bill Belichick? How the difference between college and pro must be night and day, I would imagine. But, you know, how do they prepare? Do they prepare differently, or what is the process?
I think for me. Going to the University of Connecticut in my last 3 years and having Anthony Poindexter, he played for the 2000 Ravens, and he's coaching Purdue right now, defensive back coach. For me, it's almost because that's one of the things they look at. How do you prepare? What do you, you know? But for me, I had a great teacher in Anthony Poindexter. So there was certain stuff that, you know, Monday we would do, you know, this is the routine we would face, and this is what we would do to prepare. So for me, it kind of set me up to, you know, when I got to the league, that's how, like, they prepare the same way. There's certain things that they do. So it really wasn't, I mean, obviously there's little nuances here and there because, you know, the field is kind of, you know, in college the field is wider. Whereas in the NFL, the field is kind of narrow and everything's more vertical. Mm-hmm. So there's like obviously like little nuances like that that you have to take into account. But for the most part, I think college prepared me well. Now, what I would say is that the thing that I realized in the NFL is everything happens a lot faster. Mm-hmm. The quarterbacks are elite. The ball's coming out faster. The velocity, the receivers, their routes are just. The timing is perfect. Like a play in college where it'd be bang bang or it'd be a pick. No, the plays in college where it'd be a pick or, you know, it might be a PBU. In the NFL, it's like a bang bang and the receiver still has the ball in his hand. So like there's certain stuff that, you know, from that perspective, when I first got there, I was like, man, I'm not making any plays. But I'm like, it's a different level. Like you have to be not only smarter, you have to study harder, and you have to anticipate things a lot more. Whereas in college, it was a little easier.
Because you almost like on the field, you can think about what you were gonna do. Whereas in the NFL, it just has to be reactor, you know, automatic
mind speed.
But that also comes with playing the game and time and things like that. So that's the next step I want to take. I'm excited about it.
Oh my God!
So real quick, the locker room is going to change this year. Gronk is gone.
So yes.
Well, did you hear the way he said that?
Gronk is gone.
The way he said that.
For now. Yeah.
Gronk has retired this year. What you think that's good? Does he have an effect on the locker room? Like, do you know when Gronk is in the room at any given time? Does he have that sort of effect of everyone around him?
I wouldn't necessarily say that. Like, everybody in that locker room treats each other, number one, with respect, and number two, nobody feels bigger than the other person. We're all there, you know, we all play a role. So I don't necessarily feel like that. You know, every year, the crazy thing is, like, no 2 years are the same. Like, no two teams are the same. Like, your team from 2017 isn't going to be the same 2018. So, I mean, that's just what every team goes through, and that's, you know, that's just the name of the game. I mean, every
next man up.
Every year is different. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing ever carries over for the next team. You have a team that won the Super Bowl, and the next year they don't do that well. You have a team that doesn't do that well and then wins a Super Bowl. So I personally believe that every year is a different year, and you have to, you know, take what you have for that year and build and mold that team into what you want. So yeah,
that's true. And the other thing is the fact of the parity within the league. I mean, if you look at the four majors in football, basketball, baseball, hockey, I think football has the most parity, and it's obviously with free agency, salary cap.
Yeah.
That's why what Bill has been able to do, no disrespect to the Steelers, but what he's been able to do in the land of free agency and salary cap, I mean, it is remarkable.
Who said Antonio Brown? What?
Hey, he can
beat Phoenix. Speaking of a different locker room, I think you should call Roethlisberger and ask him how different his locker room is going
to
be.
I'll talk to him later today. He calls me every Sunday.
On brisket.
Okay, I have a question for you.
What's up?
Do you know what this is?
Can you identify that bird?
Oh, you're showing it.
A piping plover.
Plover, yeah.
See, plovers. But the thing about it is, I'm the type of person, like, it's on the top of the street.
Joey? I was going to say.
This is why he doesn't run a lot.
People can't, well, they will see this, but you didn't have the camera on Joey's face when you said
that was classic.
That was classic. Oh, boy,
always very visual, though. He's not your average guy.
The reason I ask is there's a little bit of a controversy here in Gloucester about these cute little birds.
They really?
Yes.
Are they like going extinct or something?
They're going extinct, and I can't walk my dog on the beach because my dog chases these little things. There's a little.
As is, your dog caught one of them?
I'm an animal person. I love animals. So.
Yeah, I do too. Likewise.
Yeah, so I'm stuck. I love dogs and I love birds. I just wanted.
Keep them on the leash.
You have to just understand, number one, keep them on the leash. Number two, understand that when you go to the beach, that's a situation that's going to happen.
Right.
So,
yeah, I just want to.
You got to overcome and adapt.
Do you own a pet? Do you have any pets?
No.
No
pets. No, no time for pets.
Todd's training.
Yeah. I know. I really honestly want a dog. Like, wait. I really want one, but I know right now is not the right time for that.
Well,
I'm dying to get one.
To thank you for coming in to Good Morning Gloucester. We're gonna give you a pet lobster. Yeah, would you like to take care of a lobster for the year?
I'd like to eat a cooked lobster.
they only live till dinner usually.
You said you like seafood though.
No, I love seafood. I love seafood.
What kind of a diet are you on? Like, give us a typical give us a typical
nutritional breakdown for a day.
Morning to night. Are you strict?
For the most part, I try to be. So, in the morning, I have pancakes, oatmeal banana pancakes, eggs, sausage, chicken sausage. I try not to eat too much pork. And then I definitely have greens in my diet. I love pasta. I feel like it fuels me. I kind of switched over from brown rice to quinoa.
Yeah.
Because I heard quinoa is a lot better for you. It has a lot of carbohydrates, a lot of proteins in it. Obviously, I try to drink water as much as I can. And then for dinner, I don't know, chicken, rice, more greens. I try my best to try to eat healthy, but I also have a sweet tooth, so.
Yeah.
Pizza, no pizza?
Every once in a while, but I try not to, it's hard. I mean, everybody's different, so, like, I know what my body can handle and what it can't handle, but, I mean, sweets, I try to stay away from, what's it called? Sugars.
Yeah.
Inflammation and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like I said, sweets.
If you're going to cheat, what are you going to have?
Sweets and chocolate. If I'm going to cheat, what am I going to have? I don't even... Dude, I'll have anything, honestly.
Avocado ice cream? Have you tried avocado ice cream?
Actually, that's actually really good. I'm not going to lie. But our chocolate chip cookie dough. But I try not to eat too much ice cream either, too much milk, because a lot of people can't... I've come to realize a lot of people can't process...
Lactose intolerant.
Yeah. Yeah. And how many hours a day are you in the gym?
Huh?
How many hours a day are you in the gym?
Like 2 to 3.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I see that.
Driving by the gym doesn't matter.
So yeah, I switched to rice milk, but for the most part, I try to eat as healthy as I can.
but I mean, I'm not perfect.
So winning a Super Bowl, are there any downsides to winning a Super Bowl? Anything at all that you can think of?
I mean,
I look at it like this, 2-for-1 winning a Super Bowl, you're a lifelong world champion, and no one could ever take that away. And I almost think that's a business card to be able to go in and speak to organizations. Think about it, there's, through time, I mean, there's over about 1,800 and change of NFL active players, 7.3 billion people on the planet. I mean, the percentiles, and then 50 years of whatever it's been, for, you know, whatever the year now, 53 Super Bowls. It's incredible. So there hasn't been a lot of world champions through time, but I don't think downsides at all. I think it's just an amazing feat that you'll cherish forever. But
The rings are too heavy.
Mr. Kraft, he does it. He knows how to design a ring. But I would say this. The other thing with regards to winning, you're on to the next one. Like, you know, now he's just as hungry to get the next one.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the Patriots have been so successful, too.
Yeah. To go off of that, like I said, it's hard to put into words, and I don't know about everybody else, but I really do truly appreciate the Patriots for giving me the opportunity, because when you think about it, like, there's players that, like, go their whole career without winning a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm.
And like, never mind, getting like, to a Super Bowl.
Yeah. That's like the ultimate goal, like, as a player, I feel like, to number one, win a Super Bowl, number two, be in the Hall of Fame, or vice versa, whichever way you want to do it.
Right.
And for me to, you know, my second year, be able to win a Super Bowl, it's incredible.
Outrageous.
Now, you've been a quarterback, a running back, now a safety.
Yeah.
But if you could choose right now, I know you're a team player, you're going to do whatever you're supposed to. But if you could pull the trigger on a position right now, what would you be?
Safety. just a defensive player, because I feel like I've been an offensive player, and I feel like, you know, you might not have the ball in your hands, you know what I'm saying? But you still have to block. Well, as defense, you can be you have the opportunity to be on every play, like make
to affect every play,
affect every play, like.
Even with the way the rules are every year getting more and more against the defense.
Yeah, you can be around the ball every play. Like you have the opportunity to be around the ball every play, and that's the thing I like about defense.
How much emphasis is it on proper, like, now with the spearing and the everything, like the tackling, and how much of the, when you're gonna make a tackle, how much is going through your head, like, I gotta wrap him up properly so we don't get a penalty, and instead of like going making a loss on this play, that we end up like they get a first down out of this, you know?
It's definitely hard, but I mean, it varies from team to team. Like, we do a great job of teaching how to tackle, head up, and things like that, and it just kind of becomes muscle memory, and just being smart, just knowing that these are the rules, so you have to follow them, and if you don't follow them, then, you know, it could be detrimental to the team in a way. Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of, you know, muscle memory, practicing the right way, tackling the right way, and not only that, just being like, it's trying to be safe.
Mm-hmm. For your own safety.
Yeah, for your own safety.
Yeah.
For your
longevity.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The rules are going to change now a little bit.
Give some advice to kids that are trying to pursue a career in football. You only had, if I'm correct, one Division I offer.
Yeah. I would say, everybody's going to have their own opinions of what they think that you should do. My whole life, I've said I wanted to go to the NFL, and there's been people that have doubted me. You know, you're from a small town, or you might not be able to make it, or this and that. But if you have an opportunity, or if you have drive to do something, not just football, but if you have the drive to do anything, I feel like you should go for it 100%. Especially with football, I feel like there's a lot of guys that are, you know, I only have one offer, I don't have an offer, but I don't have a lot of offers. But all it takes is one. Mm-hmm. Like, all it takes is one opportunity. I didn't have. I came from a small school in Grafton. I got one offer. I went to UConn, and I'm here now. Mm-hmm. So I would say just follow your dreams, chase your dreams, and don't let anybody, you know, deter you from that. You know,
and just hang around the right people, hang around people that want to see you succeed, want to have the same drive as you, want to kind of, you know, lift you up and not bring you down. Because like I said, from school to, I mean, there would be times where, you know, I needed to make practice. Like, I know I wanted to make practice, but I know I had to go to school. So I would walk like a mile, 2 miles to go to school to make practice that day because my mom had to work and my dad had to work. So there's definitely sacrifices that need to be made. It's not going to be easy, but whatever you want to do in life, nothing in life comes easy. You have to work for everything that you get. So I would say it's you know, if you have the drive or the will to do anything, whether you're a musician, whether you're playing sports, whatever it is you want to do in life, you know, it's definitely can be achieved with the right people around you and hard work.
Cool. You're here with your agent, Sean Stellato. Sean's been here before with us. They also, he was 30 Boston Magazine, 30 for 30? 30 under 30.
40 under 40.
40 under 40.
I appreciate that, though.
40 under 40, which is like most influential Bostonians under 40 years old, and he was one of them.
Well,
which is awesome
for the family,
And you are having a fifth annual celebrity golf tournament and draft party with some. Obi, are you going to be there?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Obi's going to be there supporting it.
Yeah, Rob Ninkovich, Brandon King, you know, Marquise Flowers. We're going to have some good Patrick Pass, Jermaine Wiggins. I'm going to have some of my college kids. We're going to welcome the 2019 draft class. So we're going to do a 9-hole celebrity golf tournament, which will be a lot of fun. There'll be a lot of, you know, goodies on the course. And then we're going to go down. We'll have a VIP reception. I got a top sushi chef at Italian Winery. And we're going to raise money for the Junior Golf Fund for kids that can't afford to golf. Like, you know, they'll bring them in, teach them, kind of scholarship grant them. Then we'll do a tribute video of the Patriots and welcome the 2019 draft class. So it's going to be big day.
And it's right here on the North Shore in Danvers at the Ferncroft Country Club. You can get them from your website has information.
Yeah, just went to SeanStellato.com. You can get tickets and we have other packages and we're giving away tickets too. So if they reach out. It's just going to be a great day, influential day, obviously coming in with the world champions too.
Yeah.
It was a little different last year when they didn't win it, so there's going to be a lot of excitement in the air.
I
got some good, not to cut you off, we got the Whoopi Wagon will be up front making Whoopi pies for everybody, which are pretty cool.
That sounded like some Vegas thing for a minute.
We got iron trees behind us. They're going to be involved. You know, we're going to have a tree cutting down contest.
I need iron tree when I golf. Trees that are blocking you.
Already have time ahead of you, 50 yards.
I'm usually probably 15 balls on 18 holes, so I'm trying to keep it a ball a hole, and I'll be all right.
Chris was the captain of our golf team at Bishop Fenwick, and he played at Bryant.
Bryant University.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A lot of Connecticut.
Smithfield, Rhode Island, right?
Training grounds of the Patriots.
I'm a hell of a putter.
Yeah, that's the key of the game. But Joe was an All-American tennis player.
All-American. I got the coach's award, which means I wasn't the most talented tennis player, but I was the best cheerleader on the team.
That's for the effort.
Yeah. Yeah,
but you have mean balls. I mean, you know how to hit the balls.
Wicked serve.
Wicked serve.
Wicked serve.
But the date on that is April 25th. It's coming up. SeanStellato.com. I'll put a link in the show notes. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
Obi's got a football camp July 6th.
Oh, where's this?
In Grafton, Mass.
Grafton, Mass.
Oh, excellent. Very good.
Yeah, my first one. I'm really excited about it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I've been helped my whole life, right? So, number one, to all the people that have helped me to where I am today, whether it be rides, whether it be, you know, teachers, you know, supporting me, telling me, you know, stay in school, get good grades, anybody that's ever supported me, obviously I can't reach out to everybody. So on camera, I'd just like to say thank you. And I feel like it's my job to give back to other people. Especially young kids, and it's my first one, and I'm excited about it. So I'm just excited to do that.
That's that great.
And yeah. your home field.
Yeah. That is That's home wonderful. Field. Yeah.
yeah.
So there's an age limit? Because, man, I can spin it.
Well, come on.
So I'm just saying right now. I could walk on, you know, if it wasn't for the knee.
Yeah, we got to use the vital to mine. His will be more little kids. Mine will be, I have mine July 21st at Lynn Manning Field, the 12th annual. So Obi will be helping out. I'll be helping at his. And then we got my, I wrote a kid's book, A Magical Football Story, that's going to be, we're going to have a big night.
Wicked.
On July 19th at the Hawthorne at Salem.
Oh, nice.
So it's for kids that are, you know, it's, there's a, my daughter's suffering from psoriatic arthritis and lupus. So we're going to raise awareness and for research and bring awareness to that. So we're excited about it. It's called Football Magic. So be an inspirational night that night. Kind of like the Super Bowl meets Disney. That's the goal.
Yeah. That's awesome. You were a Salem High quarterback, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, glory years.
How deep did you go?
We went to the Super Bowl. We went to the Super Bowl. That was quite a honor and experience back in 1994.
What year was it? 94.
Yeah.
Youngster.
Yeah, that was junior year. So those, as you know, getting to the Super Bowl isn't easy feat in anything.
Yeah.
Whether it's high school or playing in a bowl game or college or
what a dream for you to be able to still be involved in a sport that you love.
It's my passion, you know, and being able to represent guys like Obi, high character guys that kind of get it and want to give back and understand the business model of the NFL. It's a blessing there because not every guy has the mantra and the mindset of someone like himself. And then being able to work with the Patriots for the last 9 years. I mean, growing up, as we know, you know, in the 80s, late 80s, they weren't very good. And I was kind of a 49ers Patriots fan, as crazy as that sounds. Mm. And yeah, it's been a blessing. It's been a lot of fun. So we still got a tremendous amount of mountain to climb. But we're excited, you know, for that next chapter.
I'll tell you, Obi, I think every guy in this room is going to be pulling for you. And I'm sure you have a lot of other fans out there, and I'm so excited for the upcoming season just to keep an eye out for you, and we wish you nothing but the best, man. Really great to meet you.
Pat's pulling for you too.
Yeah, I guess.
No, she isn't. No, don't lie. She's not pulling for you. She's a horrible New York fan.
I was gonna wait until we were off the air, but I have to say it. Your mother must be so proud of you. You are very well spoken. You're kind to thank everybody and remember everybody along the way, and your parents must be very proud of you. I just had to get that in there.
No, we can talk about his mom and what he said, but I'll tell you from firsthand experience, amazing. One of the most committed, passionate mothers I've ever worked with. And it's a testament to how she raised them, the core values, the love.
Well,
the
virtues. I can see that. That's why I say.
Yeah, he exudes everything that you want in a football player.
You do.
Yeah.
Or a son.
Our son, good man, good man.
thank you, guys.
All right, well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Want to get a group pick?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, that was awesome. What a great guy.
Yeah.
I guess, if you're going to play for the Patriots, you know, they're vetting you to begin with, right?
I'd rather play for the Steelers.
Chris,
they got a much better organization.
You fit their culture.
Yeah.
You would slide right in there. You know what's crazy is, like, they don't have a defensive coordinator right now.
I know. I didn't ask him. I was going to ask him. You know, one of the questions I didn't ask him that I was going to, I was like, what percentage of the time on the practice field is Bill Belichick spending with the defense, or as opposed to your, or like in conjunction with, or like how much one-on-one time do they get with Bill Belichick as opposed to the defensive coordinator? You know,
he might not have given up information. Yeah, I think he did get that Belichick Bible. You're just not even allowed to talk about it.
I think you're right. I totally think you're right.
Like, I was going to ask him, does Belichick know you're here, and or is he here and we don't know it? is he around the corner?
Is he in the porta potty?
Yeah.
He was in the porta potty. That's why he stopped
in.
He
had to go in there and check. Yeah.
To Bill, did I say everything okay?
He said, yeah, get back in there.
Oh, man. Last night we went to iPosi, Danvers. Ralph, you guys had already talked about it and had raved about it. Kate and I got to witness it firsthand last night. And for people that are from Gloucester that might not know about iPosi on, I think it's Maple Street in Danvers?
Yeah, Main Street.
I thought you said Main Drag before.
Yeah.
Maple or Main?
Maple or Main.
Same thing.
whatever it is.
Oh.
It is phenomenal. So it's family owned, and this guy Tani is the chef. And was he the only guy cooking the food?
He's the only
time?
Guy in there. Yeah.
Who's the only
it
guy?
It is Maple Street, 50 Maple Street, Danvers.
And we had the
figs.
The figs wrapped in prosciutto, stuffed with is it gorgonzola?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm gonna go right now,
dude.
Yeah, yeah,
right. Dude.
Then we had the homemade ravioli stuffed with the
boar.
That was the one, the lamb with lamb. The. Brown butter sage sauce with fresh pistachios.
Craig.
And then he brought out, ridiculous. He sent out this, like, not toast, like
it was
bread,
almost like a
toasted bread with whipped ricotta.
Ugh.
That was lights out, and he put a little fresh Parmesan on there, a little drizzle of olive oil. It was lights out.
And then we all got off. You got the sea
I got
bass
the
was
sea
about
bass.
3 inches thick.
Yeah, the sea bass was legit the size of a nice
brick.
New York sirloin. It was
it was
like that big and that thick, and it was just, oh man, over a bed of sauteed spinach.
It's this beautiful room, dimly lit. The back wall has all stone kind of in and out kind of stone with really nice
glass
lighting,
glass
shelving, and all top shelf booze. Like, so we had our dinner. We finished. We got. Wait, how did we stay?
Dinner was
that
at
long?
7 o'clock.
Dinner was at 7. We were still there at 11:30.
Yeah, 11:30. We're still there.
The kind of like all the patrons left except for us and a couple other people, and then Tani, the chef, he was done cooking. He starts pulling off bottles on the top shelf, Japanese whiskey and gins that, like, and how old was that whistle pig? $350, 18-year-old whistle pig. That I saw it in the case at Total Wine.
We have to ask for the manager in order to look at it.
Look at it?
Yeah.
To open it up?
And he just starts pouring us, like, you know, try this. I couldn't. Thankfully, obviously, I wouldn't have drove that. Ralph was kind enough to drive us home.
And, for the record, I was the designated driver.
The designated
driver. Soda water, and cranberry juice.
But what's Tani's wife's name? Because we should shout
Anna.
Anna. So Anna and Tani, their daughter was the waitress. If you're in Danvers, you have to go. I mean, I would just say special occasion place, have to go. And
they're
friendly.
They make their homemade gelato, which is so creamy and decadent.
I got the bourbon gelato.
Bourbon gelato, yeah.
Are they open today?
They're not open today or tomorrow. They're closed Sundays and Mondays.
All this talking, I can't.
But yeah,
have my mouth ready for some bangs.
I want to thank them for their hospitality. So you know how, like, we have some good great restaurants in town. It's like much like Duckworth's, like, you know, like when everything is on point. It's one of those places where the hospitality couldn't have been any nicer. The food couldn't have been any
better.
They
separate themselves.
The room couldn't have been better. Yeah.
They go out of their way to make you feel
special.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Special. Yeah. You know, it's just a very warm, inviting atmosphere. Everybody is important, whether they, you know, you're a first timer or you're a regular like we are, you know, and.
Like, I want to get this guy. I want him to be my friend. I want him. I was begging him. I'm like, come to Gloucester. We're going to feed you. Like, I felt like
we need to reciprocate.
We need to reciprocate somehow. Come here. We're going to cook. We're going to do some barbecues, lobsters. I want you to come to Gloucester. Like, see, just
we'll get him. We'll get him up here some Sunday or something.
The warmest, kind of nicest guy. So if you're up there, go check out iPosy.
Well, you're missing one of the most important points is 11:30 at night. The place turns into a miniature golf course.
Yeah.
He separated all the tables in the middle of the table.
That's the highlight.
That's the highlight.
Stood up a cork, brought out the putters and the thing that is, and we're putting like to play a game.
Try to knock
the restaurant.
Nice restaurant.
Smooth carpet. You're dealing with obstruction.
A slight break. There was a slight break.
Yeah.
And what did I do? Let all the listeners know.
Hook it off the bar?
Nope.
Dog-legged?
I can vouch for this. Chris first shot, tapped the cork.
Ball just slightly leaned it against it, which was it. It was in the hole.
That actually, honestly, is more difficult than knocking the cork over. Because it's just a speed control thing.
Yeah.
You know, so the contest should actually be who can touch the cork without knocking it over.
Touch the cork.
Do that twice and good luck. Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because there was a guy that followed me shortly thereafter who hit it. But, you know, he freaking cranked it.
Yeah, if he would have missed it, it would have been gone.
Yeah, if that was a real putt.
He would have three putt from there.
Right.
See, now the difference between Chris, you know, his technique when he, you know, hits the ball and he just touches the cork without knocking it over. See, me, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to throw the club, knock over a chair, which in turn will knock over the cork.
Yeah. A heavy
hand. No one told me that you had to take the ball and hit the cork over.
A heavy hand. So thank you to Tani and his beautiful wife, Anna. Pat, you had a topic. The 12th annual Pizza Taste-Off, sponsored by the Rotary, is going to be held April 11th at Cruiseport. There's a limited number of tickets available for $10 to benefit the American Cancer Society, and we're going to provide a link for that.
When's that date?
Thursday the 11th.
Which is actually day one, round one, game one of the NHL playoffs, Boston Bruins versus Toronto.
At Toronto.
No, it's home.
Oh, at home. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
Bruins have home ice.
Chris, you, yesterday, we left breakfast and you went to register your boat on the, they had a special day on the state fish pier.
Yeah.
And how was that, experience?
Well, I showed up and there were about 30 people deep. So I decided to turn around and said I'll just come back this afternoon when the line lightens up a bit. I went like 2 hours later and it was like 20 people deep. So I said, you know what, it's a nice day, I'll go stand in line. Thank God there were two nice gentlemen in front of me who saw the paperwork that I had in my hand. You know, I'm sort of new to boating, new to the whole registration process, and didn't realize that I'm already registered for 2020. That next year I'll be getting a notice about a month before my registration is due where I can just go online and
I was good to go.
But they had a good turnout.
It's a great service.
Down there
great turnout. Great thing that they do that, because, you know, if they didn't, people have to go into Boston. That's the only way if you truly have to register your boat. So to make it convenient like that for, you know, people in the Cape Ann.
Craig just got back. He was gone for 10 days shooting. Can we talk about this?
Shooting what?
No, we haven't talked.
Shooting piping
No, bullets? Can we talk about it?
Oh, yeah, we just don't have to say the name.
Okay.
But yeah, we can talk about it.
All right. So Craig,
bird hunting.
As you know,
actually killed some hawks.
As you know, Craig was responsible for shooting and editing a show, Monster Fish, that won awards for how many years running?
Like five. Six.
5 years running, and like he was basically the principal shooter and editor of the whole show. Wow. So he's taking his talents, and instead of producing a show for someone else who takes credit for the show, he's going on his own, and he's putting a show together, which he tells me is better than anything that's out there by a mile. The content that he's already got for the pilot. Why don't you go ahead? I don't want to spill anything that I'm not supposed to spill.
So another cool thing actually is Joey knows this. I don't know, you guys might know it or not, but not having a grand opening yet, but my offices you can almost see from here. So I've got a new office just down the street, right across from where Smoking Jim's was. Me and Ted Reed each have our own production companies, and we co-produce stuff together, and we're calling it the Channel House.
Oh.
And it's 108 East. And so he's got a side, and I got a side. And, you know, I do a bunch of stuff for him, and then I bring him in on my stuff. So working down there, just, you know, I'm Joey's neighbor now. It's pretty sweet.
Nice.
This summer we're going to be doing a lot of barbecue down here.
Nice. Oh, nice.
A lot of collaborative work.
Also, I told you I want you to do some work for me too. We're starting those big couple jobs down the street there.
Okay.
And I want to do some flyovers and do some website design and stuff like that.
Definitely. So I was in Texas. So I'm shooting my pilot. Part of it's in Texas and part of it is in the Key West. And I've been we first kind of tested this starting almost 2 years ago, and had this idea, but I wasn't sure if it was going to work. It was actually a big production. So the thing is, instead of taking on a half-hour show, this isn't really a fishing show, but there's fishing in it. And it's part fish art, fish replicas, you know, taxidermy for fish, and going to obtain those fish. So it's...
with some characters.
I have quite a crew of characters. And so after testing it, building the pilot, showing people the pilot around, got interest from Discovery Channel right away. They've gone cold because of like hiring freezes and layoffs and all that. So we decided this is such a big thing that we got to keep going. Let's put it out ourselves. So just went and shot the final part of it in Texas, and it went extremely well.
He's excited.
And I think that we have a product that there's nothing like it out there. This is a really difficult show to produce, and it's actually fucking expensive as shit to produce. So we're hopefully going to, once we release it, I think that it's going to cause a lot of noise, and then the sponsors are going to come banging, because basically, and I know it sounds ridiculous, everyone's like, my kid's the best on the team and all that shit. But I've been working on TV shows for 25 years. I've produced probably a dozen pilots of my own. I've had shows picked up and sold. I've had bad partnerships where I've lost everything and they took everything. I've had all kinds of scenarios. This is a huge show that I think replaces the scale of Duck Dynasty and the fishing excitement of Wicked Tuna and the kind of make it and deliver it that Shark Tank is. I mean that Tanked, the show Tanked is, which is custom fish tanks. So we're kind of a combination of all those with great characters, awesome fishing action. Like the intent is when we do fish, it's going to be the best fishing you've ever seen, and everything else is, we're about as real as reality shows get. You know, the way I produce and direct this thing is because I'm boys with these guys, and I only bring in one other shooter. We do our own sound. I'm the director. There's a two-man crew on this, which is normally about a 6 to 12 person crew. So we have a ballet of two camera guys to make this work, and I'm allowed to let these guys be real and not like, wait, you stop, say this again, throw that at your brother, can we do that, take five, show me, I need more anger. It's like, no, we're really, they get us and we get them to, we know how to make this thing work. And after this final thing, I was like, this is working. So I think that, I think we got something special, man. I think we got something really,
so cool. So
really
special. He shot, I don't know if you have an appreciation, how many terabytes of...
This first episode is like over 6 terabytes of content.
Wow.
Which is
for 45 minutes worth of video.
Which is an ungodly amount of data to like process.
Yeah, and I had literally like, and the crazy thing is, since I don't have assistant editors yet, is all that's in my head. So it has to go from my head to 12 different scenes, and then all the stuff we can use down the road. I mean, it's a lot of stuff. It is a lot of stuff. But like I said, we pull this together. I think it could be really, really big. And making TV's hard. Making an hour-long program's even harder. But it's really all about finding the right characters. You know, that's the reason why, you know, people can make motorcycles or give out parking tickets
right,
to get a TV show.
Right,
you know, it just doesn't matter if you got the characters. I think I got the characters. I got good guys too. And that's the other thing.
Chris
like,
and I could be characters.
I was going to say
you guys are the characters.
Gloucester gone wild.
Yeah. I'm excited. I mean,
so yes, when we release it, then we'll release the name and everything. Because when we drop it, it will you know, it's going to drop big. So we decided to stop, you know, trying to make these phone calls back and forth with Discovery Channel. And taking it to produce it ourselves and put it out ourselves. So the first episode, I'll be releasing a bunch of teasers like the one you've seen, the first one. And then segment after segment after segment, instead of dropping a full episode, it's going to be 6 to 7 minutes, 6 to 7 minutes, 6 to 7 minutes.
Brilliant.
And then after however long I decide, since it's online, it doesn't have to be 44 minutes
right.
or 59 minutes. The first show could be an hour and a half if I want.
Right.
You know, so after I drop all the segments, hopefully they keep you wanting to come back and see more, because at the end there'll be a teaser, And then at the end, we'll release the whole thing as one chunk. And then that's when, you know, make it rain, bitches.
Sort of like leading up to the Game of Thrones, you know, the first exactly. episode. Yeah.
I'll tell you,
Is that the sweatshirt you got on there?
These are actually, yeah, fishreplicas.com that's their website, but they're Lake Fork Taxidermy.
So anyway, Craig, I can't wait to see the finished product on that. It's going to be ridiculous.
I appreciate it, man. I'm excited, man. After, like you said, after decades of doing other people's stuff and trying to put out my stuff for years, I know we got one. You know what I mean? I know we got one.
So cool.
Exciting.
Well, for Chris McCarthy, Ralph DiGiorgio, Pat Dalpiez, Craig Kimberly, Sean Stellato, Obi Malafonwu, and your host,
and the tree guy.
Oh, yeah, John Cahill, our friend John Cahill was here.
Yeah, you forgot to introduce us all at the beginning.
I know, that's what I'm doing. You're in the show notes. Everybody's in the show notes.
We're so pumped out about Obi and totally forgot about us. See how we just get kicked aside when you get starstruck like that? You know, we should have seen him. He had a glow to him. You know, nothing. Last night, we took him out. We showed
we paid for him.
Great restaurant. We had a nice night. And all of a sudden, we come in, they stick us in the corner like
didn't cost him a dime.
Another one of his piece of trash. Yeah. It's all right, Chris. Yeah, let's go. We'll get out. We're leaving. Yeah. We're going.
Classic Cast 332.
There we go, baby.
Mm.